I'm Plant on the Line. This is the commentary.ca. Ian King is back, the King's Corner columnist in the 24 Hours newspaper in Vancouver, joins me a week or so after the municipal elections in the region. Vancouver has a new mayor in Gregor Robertson and a council with a majority made up of his cohorts from Vision Vancouver. We'll look at the next 3 years and more. The former editor of Terminal City, Ian's website is at iankingcomedy.ca. Please welcome back to the Plant on the Line program, Ian King. Good morning, Mr. King.
Good morning, Joe.
I understand that election night you were covering the Robertson campaign.
I was covering both the Crowe campaign and the Robertson campaign, as well as keeping tabs on what was happening out in Surrey.
You saw Gregor Robertson that night. What did you say to him?
Don't fuck up.
And how did he take the advice?
He took it well.
You know, so someone asked me the other day why Sullivan was ousted from the NPA nomination. And I didn't, I mean, I just took it on faith that everyone hated him. Now, why exactly did he lose the nomination, an incumbent mayor?
Well, my waggish answer would be money in the ethnic vote, with the ethnic vote in this case being mostly white. The truth is that Sullivan was, you have to understand, was never really a part of the NPA establishment, the one that's well known, it's made up of Vancouver's business community, the legal services companies that support it, and all those related organizations. He's not from the West Side. His family is not part of the Vancouver. It's not part of the Vancouver establishment, or particularly well connected to it. I mean, Sullivan's father ran an auto parts store in East Vancouver. Certainly a good part of the community, a very prominent part of it. So Sullivan's power base was not really within the NPA's traditional power base. Of course, that's what helped him in the election in 2005, when he brought in a lot of non-white voters, a lot of new Canadians into the NPA fold, and attracted support from them, especially in the city's east side, in addition to the traditional NPA support base, which is, for the most part, south of 16th Avenue and west of Main Street. But he was never a major player on council during the 12 years he'd been there prior to becoming mayor. He didn't really get any plum committee chairmanships or regional director positions. My friend Alan Garr from the Vancouver Courier said that Philip Owen just wouldn't let him sit at the grown-ups table for most of the time, which is pretty damning. So you had this guy who was essentially a bit of an outsider within his own party, who took the nomination against someone who was even more of an outsider, but whose cross-community appeal helped secure a win in 2005. But fundamentally, a lot of Sam's people didn't get along as well with the traditional West Side NPAers, who were always kind of reluctant to back him. So when Peter Ladner, sensing that Sullivan was unpopular as mayor, was seen as ineffective, seen as a ditherer, mounted a challenge, he had that traditional NPA base to fall back on for support. And he worked them hard, and that's why he won the nomination. And it wasn't because everyone in the NPA was pissed off with Sullivan. Far from it. I mean, he only won it by about 80 votes on a bit under 2,000 members. So it's not like there was a vast rejection of Sullivan by his own party. It was a pretty tight fight that may have kept a lot of Sullivan's supporters from 2005 at home. And if you look at the poll-by-poll results, all those areas in 2005 that went for Sullivan in places like Collingwood, in places like Fraser, went for Gregor Robertson this time out. And Robertson also increased his vote heavily in a lot of heavily ethnic east side neighborhoods, including my own neighborhood of Chinatown.
Well, would he have fared better, do you think, if he were the NPA standard bearer?
I don't think so. The truth be told, all that stuff was overwhelmed by a general desire for change. NPA candidate Michael Geller's one word explanation was Obama. That when you have this theme of change sweeping through people's minds, they're just going to vote for whoever looks like change. And certainly Gregor Robertson does look like that compared to the last 3 years on council, which he wasn't even a part of. The day before the election, I wrote in 24 Hours that that Olson's inexperience on council, you know, he's never had a position in municipal government, would not be seen as a drawback this year because of the dreadful performance that city council often put on during the last 3 years. It was just a horrible thing to watch. It was petty squabbling by people who I know are a lot better than what we saw in their debates between 2005 and 2008.
But this $100,000 loan business, what do we need to know about this?
The $100 million loan guarantee to finish the Olympic Village construction?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that we're going to end up knowing quite a bit more about it and what caused it to be necessary, simply because Robertson has made a promise to air it out somewhat more publicly. But I was talking with people within Vision about that, and while the story certainly gobbled up a lot of column inches in the last 2 weeks leading up to the election, apparently it just didn't shift voter intention all that much. It reinforced for a lot of people who are going to vote for Robertson anyway. It was one more thing in their perception as to why they were going to vote for him. It might have helped him consolidate his support, but it's not like it was a game changer.
And so it didn't affect Ladner at all?
Among his core supporters, not really, because a lot of his core supporters would say, well, yeah, financial dealings like this have to be conducted in camera for a lot of reasons, and that they thought that Vision was misrepresenting what was going on. They were misrepresenting the role of the city's property endowment fund and all other matters that they thought was contrary to the good governance of the city. So it's kind of a weird thing. You had a story that was big, that got a lot of play, that led to the resignation, that was tied up in the resignation of the city's finance director, Estelle Lowe, but that didn't shift voters all that much from the people I've talked to who would have the data to know this.
So what are Robertson's priorities going into this? He gets sworn in, I guess, what, the first week of December?
Yeah, it'll be, it's either December the 2nd or December the 8th. His first priority is homelessness. He made that clear in his speech, is that he wants to eliminate street homelessness in Vancouver by 2015, which he also acknowledged was a really big, which is a really big promise. And the deadline seems unambitious, but as he said, you know, homes take years to build, and in the meantime, you know, there are going to be stop gaps like shelters, but they aren't going to solve the problem in the long run. So that's what he's really going to work on. He says that within 30 days he's going to be he's going to put together an emergency homelessness task force comprised of people from municipal government, from senior government, from the business community, and presumably from some sort of community activists or representatives. And this is to go and kickstart the city's homelessness action plan, which Vision alleged was sort of abandoned by the NPA during its 3 years on council. So that's job one. Job two is probably going to be to help placate the city hall bureaucracy, because there's been a lot of people within Vision who wouldn't mind to see the back of a lot of the city's top managers, including the city manager herself, Judy Rogers. Labor relations are going to improve instantly as a result of the Vision victory. Paul Farrow, QP 15, which represents the city's inside workers, its president, was ecstatic that night, just saying that, you know, a huge weight had been lifted from his shoulders because now he had a city government that he felt he would work with. And meanwhile, the people within Vision, the elected Parks Board commissioners and councilors, were assuring me that they weren't going to be total patsies for the union, despite the fact that by its nature, Vision as a central left party is going to be a lot more cordial and a lot more favorably disposed to the unions representing the city workers than might be the case with the NPA.
So how will this new council fare? You've got 7 Vision, 2 COPE, and 1 NPA. I mean, as you mentioned earlier, the last 3 years have been pretty acrimonious. Will we see any improvement? I guess by virtue of the numbers, we will.
Well, it's going to be interesting. There are a few things I'm going to look out for. One of which is how united the Vision the Vision Caucus is, on the whole, I mean, the party itself is, they're a pretty cohesive bunch. Whatever differences they had in the nomination run-up, for the most part, were smoothed over when the nominations closed, when the winners were announced, and they set out to work together, and they did that quite well. Now, the COPE counselors, and of course, Vision was spun itself off from COPE in 2005. How they get along with them will be interesting. The two COPE counselors, David Cavanaugh and Ellen Woodsworth, they're diplomatic by nature. They're very collegial. They aren't the sort of people who are going to simply antagonize Vision for being too centrist just out of spite, as, say, former counselor Tim Lewis would do. But I suspect that you'll see them disagreeing once in a while on some key issues, just as surely as during the previous COPE Vision counselors, we had the so-called COPE classics, these being Lewis and Tim Lewis, Fred Bass, Ellen Woodsworth, and Ann Roberts, and then the so-called Diet COPEs, most of which ended up forming the Vision Council, the Vision Party. I mean, they'll disagree once in a while, but we'll see whether they start splitting, say, 9-2 against the two Copesters with NPA or Suzanne Anton. And how they treat Anton is going to be a good question, because she's the only NPA voice on council. As Gord Price noted on his weblog, it's not the first time that there's been a 10-1 split on council. There was one in 1993 when Jenny Kwan was the only COPE counselor elected. And she often complained that she'd never get the NPAers to second any of her motions at council. Now, Anton is going to be looking to Gregor Robertson to second some of her motions in the spirit of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, whatever you want to call it, getting Anton, who is an experienced and respectable counselor in her own right, a bit of a voice and a bit of a role in this council, rather than simply having hers being the odd woman out and getting whipped by the other 10 on vote after vote after vote. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can make some use of her, because she's an intelligent woman. She's quite progressive in her own right in a lot of ways, although certainly from the more tight-fisted and public safety oriented side of things, she fits more, in that aspect she's a lot more like the nonpartisan association that we've come to expect. But they should be able to make use of her if they want to.
I was going to ask you where the NPA goes from here, and I guess it goes with Anton, don't you think? Did you think she'll run in the next election for mayor?
Well, there has been talk that she has seen herself as a mayor in waiting. And if she did, she would have a fairly good chance of getting her party's nomination. How she'd fare against Robertson would be, no one knows this right now. I don't know this. You don't know this. It's really going to depend a lot on the next 3 years on council. Is Gregor going to drop the ball? Is he going to play it safe? Will he accomplish some of what he intends to? If he doesn't, then Anton could be a real viable choice as a mayoral candidate. Of course, then you've got the Georgia Strait speculating that you could even see the return of Sam Sullivan.
Really?
Really.
Yeah. How
saying, saying that, well, we broke our coalition from 2005. We lost in all the areas that were critical to us winning last time out, and I'm the guy who can bring it back.
Well, that's 3 years away. How does this all look provincially, though, for May's election?
I'm going to say that it's not going to be a huge effect. Yes, some new Democrat allied candidates won in some municipalities, whereas right wingers won in others. What's notable is that in Sir Diane Watts, who is from the center right, but who has governed largely from the center, was reelected with a huge majority, and all of her colleagues on city council were elected quite safely to their seats. The real lesson may be hug the center, because that is where the votes are. If you look at the 2008 civic campaign in Vancouver. Vision Vancouver was determined to not see present itself as some sort of a radical alternative, rather as an alternative that was focused on delivering change and on moving forward and to provide a bit of leadership. But they certainly weren't spouting any left-wing rhetoric.
Ian, it's been great having you on again. I appreciate this, and thank you for your time.
Not a problem, Joseph.
From 24 Hours, Ian King. IanKing.ca is his website. For the commentary, I'm Joseph Plano.